We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
You know, one of the best things that we can do, exactly like you said, is just making sure that what we buy, A, it's going to last longer, and that we keep it longer. And that is, you know, the best thing that we can do for the earth that we all live in.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. A great pair of jeans never goes out of style, and that's probably why Levi Strauss & Company has been leading the way for over a century. Today's guest is Mark Rosen, president of Levi Strauss Americas. We'll talk to Mark about Levi's digital strategy and how the brand is appealing to a whole new generation of fans. But first, let me welcome my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Susan Retta. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm wearing jeans, not yoga pants.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm a bit nervous, to be honest with you. Somebody invited me. There's a wedding coming up in a few weeks. And I don't know that I can fit in anything that I would need to wear for the wedding. So I have to do it and try it. And that includes my jeans, because I haven't really been wearing jeans very much.
Well, it's an excuse to buy more. The quarantine 15 means new jeans.
Yeah, that's why the economy is doing really well, especially in retail. Mark, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We're so glad to have you. And it's fascinating. Your job is fascinating. Your brand is fascinating. But before we get to that, tell us a little bit about Mark's career journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Sure. I'd be happy to do it. Before I go there, I would say the beauty of where I've landed or where I am on this journey right now is I get to wear jeans everywhere I go every single day. And you have an excuse to do it no matter what. You know, my journey over my career has always kind of been crossing the lines between strategy, between technology, between business operations, and between digital and e-commerce. And so I spent a number of years before I came to Levi's at Walmart working in strategy and really building out the international business there and looking at new market and driving growth. And then working in the technology organization and leading a lot of the core retail technology that ran the business, and then moving into e-commerce and digital. And my final role there was in the Walmart.com, the e-commerce business, leading a lot of the .com businesses around the world. And almost exactly 7 years ago, in fact, I think it was 7 years ago, this week, I had the opportunity to join this amazing brand. And really, the opportunity came to build out a digital and an e-commerce and a direct-to-consumer business end-to-end. And when I saw that opportunity, and really I saw the power of the Levi's brand and the strength of that brand and its ability to connect with consumers, yet the fact that it had been completely underdeveloped in those opportunities to connect directly with consumers was such a great opportunity that 7 years ago, I joined Levi's. And when I joined Levi's, I started out leading our e-commerce business globally. And that really actually meant building out the e-commerce business, because to a large extent, our e-commerce business at that point was relatively small and had been largely outsourced. And to really become the direct-to-consumer player that was a core part of our strategy was transforming into direct-to-consumer, we needed to build up all of the capabilities end-to-end that would drive the e-commerce business, really from performance marketing and digital marketing capabilities to site merchandising capabilities to operations and fulfillment that would enable the e-commerce business and all of the engineering capabilities that would build a site and be able to do that. And so we built that business up. And along with that, we built a lot of data science capabilities to really connect with the consumer and to really drive personalization that consumers were craving and that was going to make our experience a lot richer. Because the Levi.com site really is, we call it our largest and our flagship store, and it is the entry point to the brand. It's where consumers come to experience the best of the best on the brand. After we built out the e-commerce site, we then looked at the world around us and we said, consumers really want to shop, you know, a brand, and they want to shop that brand regardless of channel. A consumer doesn't say, am I going to shop digital? Am I going to shop online today? Or am I going to shop in store? They say, I want to buy Levi's, and they want an experience buying Levi's across store and online that is a seamless consumer experience. And so we then started building out all of those omni-channel shopping experiences, but building out those omni-channel capabilities. And I took over our global direct-to-consumer organization, which included the store, so that we really could have that seamless view across our stores and online experience for the consumer and deliver that great experience that consumers know and expect of the brand. So I led our global direct-to-consumer business and build out a lot of those omni-channel capabilities across the business. And about a year ago, I took on this role just in time. It was actually probably about a month before the pandemic started that I took on the role of leading our Americas business, which includes all of our wholesale business. So across the Americas, it's leading the end-to-end business, including all of the business that we do with department stores and chains and other online providers, in addition to the direct-to-consumer business. And so, you know, it's been an interesting journey kind of across Levi's as we've gone through that. And then just in November, we created something that we'll talk about more, I'm sure, called the Digital Enterprise Office. And the Digital Enterprise Office is really the way that we're looking at how we transform to become the leading digital apparel company.
Mark, this is putting it a little dramatically, but I mean, you know, you were in the pioneering stage of, I think, what ultimately became, you know, ubiquitous as the online, buying online. It was there. It was very nascent, though, in the early 2000s and through the 2000s as people were trying to develop this, as it was actually getting legs and more people were actually starting to use it. I mean, did you have any idea back then how it would look today? I mean, the way that it has evolved from early 2000s.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, I think you always have a vision and a North Star of where you want to go and what you're building and what that looks like. That always starts with and is centered in and is grounded in the consumer, right? So
for sure.
Who is the consumer? How do they want to shop? And what kind of experience do they want? And so you know that some of those things are going to be true and work out exactly as they planned. And then there are certain things that either you think are going to be amazing and the consumer just isn't potentially ready for that, or things that you never even thought you would have to do that the world has just transformed and consumers expect. And I think the key and what's really important to being successful in this world is agility. It's the ability to really understand the consumer, understand what the trend is, and to pivot quickly to be able to execute on that and to test and learn. And it's that agility that I think is the key to success.
Tell us about the new Digital Enterprise Office. You know, what falls under that heading and what's the big goal there?
Let me kind of step back and I'll tell you kind of what prompted us to create the Digital Enterprise Office. And I talked a little bit about my experience leading our direct-to-consumer business and the kinds of things that we had done and what we had established. And you know, as we set up the direct-to-consumer business, within that business, we started building some data science capabilities and things like that. A lot of it started around that connection with the consumer and building that stronger connection with the consumer. And how did we use data science and analytics to understand our consumer better, understand what they wanted, how they were shopping, what they wanted to buy, and to really drive personalization of the experience that they had in the site? First of all, in some of the marketing that we were doing. Second of all, in site experience and in merchandise and assortment. And as we built up that data science capability within the direct-to-consumer organization, then we started expanding that. Once we had the data science team in place, we said, what other things can we do? And it started expanding into some of the operational areas of the business as well. For example, I mentioned buy online, pick up in store, and ship from store is another one of the capabilities that we built. And ship from store is a really important function to drive profitability in the business. but it's also one that if you aren't very careful and precise about how you use it, can have a very negative impact on the profitability of the business. So we started taking that data science team and saying, how do you help us with some of those optimization decisions and models and build those tools to help us operate the business much more profitably, much more effectively, but also in a way that was much more consumer responsive because it was getting goods to the consumer a lot. You know, it was not only about profitable, but it was also how do we get merchandise to the consumer faster and meet their expectations for fast delivery. So we started building that out across the direct-to-consumer business. And then as we looked at what was going on in the world around us and we saw the importance of digital and AI and building out those capabilities, we said, we have this really strong core, this seed that started in direct-to-consumer of that capability. But to really become a digital enterprise, and that really is our vision, is to become the world's best digital apparel company. And I mean, digital across the total enterprise. To really become that digital enterprise, we had this core that was working in direct to consumer, but we needed to take that across the whole business. And so as we thought about it first, we thought, what about the power of taking all of that information that we have about our consumers and how they shop and trends and information and what merchandise is working and what isn't? If we could really quickly feed that into our designers and bring that around to the beginning of the process, how powerful would that be? And so as we thought about that and driving that change and that go-to-market process for, you know, a brand and an apparel manufacturer like us is really at the core and the heart of what we do. And as we thought about driving that change, that's really when we created the Digital Enterprise Office. And the role of the Digital Enterprise Office is to drive that digital capability and that digital transformation across the company to really make us the world's best digital apparel company.
You know, I recently saw that you, as part of this, hope I get this right, also included a smartphone app, which I find really interesting because it's very hard to get the consumer to allow you to be on their phone. Mm-hmm. How is that going? What was the decision behind that? Because folks struggle with that. Do I want to develop an app? Do I just send them to my website? Where was your mindset on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And it's one exactly like you said, we had that debate for a long time, right? Where, you know, running a business and running strategies is all about the allocation of resources and prioritization, right? And like I said, we started out building this business really from the bottom up. And so we had to make some tough prioritization decisions about where we were going to go first and where we were going to invest. And, you know, a lot of people ask the question along the way, well, what about the app? Well, why don't you have an app? Well, when are you going to have an app? And we said, you know, first of all, we need to have that really compelling reason for the consumer to download our app, right? Because that real estate on the phone is valuable real estate, right? And consumers will only give that in certain places and to certain brands. Like I said, fortunately, you know, with a brand that has the 168-year history of our brand and a brand that has the strength of the relationship with the consumers, that put us in a really good place. But we knew we had to have a really compelling reason and an offer there. And so we also kind of tied into the app. It's really an ecosystem that goes between that personalization, the app offering, and the loyalty program. And they all kind of go together in an integrated system from our point of view. But as we rolled out the loyalty program, we also, and we've rolled out our loyalty program about a year ago, and we now have over 5 million members. So we're really pleased with the consumers that have joined that and how that's been working. And in conjunction with that, we rolled out our app. And the app for us was a really important part of our strategy also, to connect with the youth consumer, because the youth actually do shop much, much more on the app. And we've been really pleased with the number of downloads that we've seen and the growth that we've seen. And the great thing about it is we are connecting with that young consumer. And we see that by far the majority of consumers who are joining and downloading the app are young consumers. And so we're really, really pleased with how that's going. One of the ways that we're doing that is by really using unique merchandising offers and collaborations and things like that to connect with the consumer. So you'll see a lot of product drops and things like that that will come only on that app experience, which then really gives the consumer, I was saying, they need that reason to have it, right? Well, the reason to have it is because you can get that unique product collaboration.
It's interesting because Levi's is such an iconic brand. And as you mentioned, it's been around for over a century. You know, staying relevant, does that keep you up at night? I mean, it's just, you've always got to be looking for how are we relevant to this generation? What are we doing right? I would assume some of that is around talking about your extraordinary track record in CSR and sustainability and corporate responsibility. But what, you know, as you look at the relevancy of the product, of the brand, and this generation, Generation Z, how do you keep up with that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, being a brand, staying relevant with that consumer is at the heart of what we do, right? It is the most important thing that we do. So, of course, amongst a whole bunch of other things, it is one of the things that keeps me up at night, but one of the most important things that keeps me up at night. You know, I think it is about really staying immersed with that consumer and always understanding who they are, what they're looking for. And it's about that agility to pivot, to change, to drive new things and to bring them what they want. I do think that sustainability is really a key component of that. And you see that, I think, as we've gone through the pandemic has made it even more important and consumers are thinking about that even more. But younger consumers want to buy product that they feel good about, that they feel good about where it's made and how it's made, and that they feel good about the fact that it is good for the world that we live in. And so we have we've been the leader in sustainability for a number of years, but one of the things that we did just this last week is we rolled out a new campaign, and the campaign is all about buy better and wear longer. And really the message there is that as a consumer, we all go through so much product, right? But how do we actually do a better job for the world we live in of being more responsible about what we buy and understanding what we buy and buying things that not only that we love and we really know that we're going to keep and are going to last a long time, but are going to be classics. And I think one of the great things about our product category is, right, jeans and denim, to a large extent, it evolves. We've gone from skinny fits to looser fits and things like that. And that is driving a lot of our business right now. But the core of denim and what it is, and that being a center piece in the wardrobe, that is classic. And so the denim is classic. But then I also think consumers know that our product is made and lasts forever.
It's funny you talk about the jeans lasting. I have a pair of jeans that are at my farmhouse. And they are my barometer. If I put them on and they're too tight, I need to lose weight. But there are a lot of clothes that I put them on and they're too tight, I take them to Goodwill, but not my jeans. Those jeans are going to be with me for as long as I'm with myself.
Yep. And the truth is they get better with time, right? They get softer, they get more comfortable, they get more worn in, and they feel better every time you wear them.
It's interesting because there's so many layers to the definition of sustainability, but longevity is definitely one of them.
Sure.
And Levi's scores when it comes to longevity.
Yeah, it really does.
Yep. And like I said, buy better, wear longer. That is right, the slogan of the campaign, and it goes exactly into that. And I think it is, you know, one of the best things that we can do, exactly like you said, is just making sure that what we buy, you know, A, it's going to last longer, and that we keep it longer. And that is, you know, the best thing that we can do for the earth that we all live in.
So we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel from the pandemic. And, you know, it was really interesting. A lot of the conversations that we're having with some of our retail leaders that we've talked to over the last year, it was the speed at which retail responded to this situation, whether essential, non, you know, what people consider non-essential, which we never thought that there was non-essential retail, but because those were jobs and those were communities. But you think about the things that they did to respond. Main Street shops, big box stores, doesn't matter. And some of the technologies that were rolled out, you talk about buy online, pick up in store, that was there, but boy, it went on steroids fast. What are the trends that you think were initiated during the pandemic that you see carrying on to the future? Just because the pandemic's over doesn't mean that those technologies or those practices are going to come to an end.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to watch. And in a lot of cases, what I say to the team is that we have seen things that normally in an adoption curve would take 3 or 5 years to drive adoption that you saw overnight adoption during the pandemic. And I think one of the things that you mentioned, buy online, pick up in store, was a prime example of that, because a lot of retailers had that capability. It was not widely used before the pandemic, but it was interesting. We were just in the process of building that when the pandemic hit. And one of the things that we learned within the organization that I know is going to stick, I know we're talking about consumer, but I wanted to talk about within for a minute too, is we then said we were in the process of building buy online, pick up in store. And we said, we need to get this out as fast as possible. And so rather than wait for the perfect product or the rollout, we said, is what we have good enough? And it was good enough to roll it out. Now, it took some more manual steps than we would have liked. It wasn't tested as many times as we wanted it to be, but we got it out there fast. And then we kind of just built hack on top of hack. And so we said, okay, let's start curbside pickup. Because if we all remember, you know, a year ago, stores were totally closed. And so curbside pickup was the only option. So how do we turn that into curbside pickup? And then how do we continue to evolve and get that perfect solution out there and get buy online, pick up in store? But one of the great things within the organization that I think it's done is taught us to just move faster and to roll things out faster and to roll out pieces and to test and learn and try and build on top of that rather than waiting until you have the perfect solution. So I do think that whole buy online, pick up in store trend is going to stick. And we're watching very closely to see, you know, what sticks between. We're really confident, you know, our digital business grew 41% in the first quarter of this year. And wow. So we've seen just tremendous growth of that digital business. And I believe that trend is going to continue because I think consumers have found the convenience of it. And so we believe that trend is going to stick and digital is going to continue to be a really important part of the business. At the same time, what we're also seeing now is that consumers are using the store differently and that expectation of the store experience is different. So they're coming in with a much more intentional purpose when they come into the store. And it's because of those unique store things that can be offered. So for us, that's the try on and the fit experience. And so as we, you know, fortunately ahead of this, we had built out our new next gen store prototype. And as we did that, we built some of these things in, but it has reinforced the fact that that fitting room, which in the next gen store, we built a larger fitting room and what we call a style lounge and a place where the consumer can feel really comfortable finding their fit, because that's one of the unique reasons they're going to come into the store. The tailor shop is at the center of our next gen store because that customization experience, you can do it online, but a lot of people, you know, we all want to pretend that we're artists and we're craftsmen as we go to design that customization experience. But the truth is there's a reason our designers are great designers, and it's because they have unique talents and abilities, and our tailors have that too. And so, you know, when I try to design something, usually the designers come up to me and I do it for the customization product. And they say, you want this actually right here. And actually this would look better. And of course they're right. And that's every consumer. And so they want to come in and have that tailor shop and have that interaction and have the tailor help them design. So we're finding that, you know, I think the trends like buy online, pick up in store and shopping online and digital shop, all of that is going to stick. But I also think that what will change in the store experience is that consumers will have that unique experience and that intention that they come into store, and the store is going to be reshaped around delivering those unique experiences for the consumer.
We were actually, I was with the foundation team, the National Retail Federation Foundation team, and we're at there's a name for it. And I know I'm not going to get it right, but it was kind of like your innovation office. But Jeff Goldblum was there. That's the thing. I will never forget that. And never forget when they showed us how they did the laser cuts in the jeans. Yes. That was absolutely fascinating. Anyway, Mark, I just got the high sign that we're running out of time. And I'm really sorry to hear that, because this has been incredibly interesting. And I could talk about this forever, but let's go to a part of the program that if you haven't listened to Retail Gets Real before, you probably don't know anything about, and it's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So are you ready?
Okay, sounds like fun. Let's go.
All right, Susan, start us off.
First job.
First job, lifeguard.
What do you do to relax, Mark Rosen?
SoulCycle.
And healthy.
And what's your favorite fast food?
I sit on the board of Inspire Brands, which is a fast food company. Exactly. So I would say Sonic tater tots or a cherry limeade from Sonic.
Yeah.
You probably, Bill, you lived in Bentonville, you said too. So you probably know Sonic
well too. So absolutely. From the McDonald's. Yeah, Inspire Brands is extraordinary. The leadership there is extraordinary. You should be really excited to be a part of that team. So
yeah, it's a great company.
What is the one thing that is always in the Rosen refrigerator?
What is one thing? Strawberries.
Oh.
It's one of the things that I found when I lived in California. We go to the farmer's market every week and there's no such thing better than fresh California strawberries.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
No, that's easy. Early. I am early and everybody else in my family is late.
I'm pretty convinced based on what you've shared that you sleep in your early eyes.
It's true. And Mark, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Superpower, what would it be? You know, I think two things. It would either be the speed of travel to be able to get wherever I want around the world because our business operates around the world and just be able to like blink my eyes and get there. Or the other one would be to blink my eyes. And I talked a lot about that consumer, to get into the consumer mind and understand what they really want.
It could be interesting. It could be scary.
Exactly. Both ways.
We're just going to leave it at that, Mark. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us on Retail Gets Real. And if people want to know more about Levi's and what they're doing, where would they go on the internet?
They could go to Levi.com, which, like I said, is our flagship. And you can see all the great product, the great brand stories and what we're doing. And we'd love to have you visit.
Mark, thank you so much for being with us again. And Susan, thank you so much for co-hosting.
This was fun.
This was great. Thank you.
And for all you out there, you can find more information about today's discussion and more at retailgetsreal.com. And please send us your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. I feel like we're towards the end of having to close each one of these conversations with this admonition, but let me give it to you one more time. Be safe. Be well. Until next time, thanks for listening.